Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Hosea. Give you guys a little bit of a challenge this morning. You got to find Hosea. We're going to be in Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the transgressors stumble in them. Let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you would be with us today as we look at your text. I pray that you would speak to our hearts through the incredible beauty of your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and take over this place and take over my words and my thoughts. And I pray that everything said here today would be to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, I pray that you would encourage your people today. I pray that you would strengthen your people today, and I pray that you would be with us each and every step of the way. Lord, we thank you, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Things in life don't always go the way that we think they should. At times, this can be due to our bad decisions. Sometimes we can make some bad decisions, and those bad decisions can cause things not to go at all like we expected. But at other times, things don't go as we expect because of what someone else does. Someone else could do something that could put a kink in our plan. You never know when you might turn down a Goaty Trail when there's a big old tractor there and that wasn't a part of your plan. We are good at wanting things done our way in our time, aren't we? We're very good. We want things done our way. We want things done on our timetable. And often when we... Often, the reason we get upset with other people, it's because they didn't do it the way we think they should have or the way we would have. Like, well, I'm mad at that person because I would have did it this way. It's easy for me, like when I go to another church or I listen to another pastor, it's easy for me to sit back and say, well, I would have preached that differently. That's not necessarily a good attitude to have. When I worked at McDonald's, I'd be like, well, I'm just going to do it myself. That way, at least I know it's done right. You guys ever had that where you've been like, well, I'm just going to do it myself. That way, I know it gets done right the first time. I have also, but I've come to learn that my ways aren't always right or even best. My ways are not always wrong, but they're not always right either. I've also come to learn that different people do things a little different, but can get the same results. Where we run into problems as the people of God is when it becomes about us getting our way instead of seeing and following God's way. Over the next few weeks, we're going to begin a new series, and the title of the series is called The Way of the Lord. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the topic, The Way of the Lord. And we begin today by seeing that the way of the Lord is right. Everything that God does is good and right, and we need to see and know and understand that His ways are right. And so our text today is going to help us to see that. And as we begin, the first thing that we see in our text is we see this context of who is wise. As the prophet Hosea is bringing his prophecy to an end, this is the last verse of the last chapter of the entire prophecy of Hosea, and he is tying everything together. So as we understand the prophecy of Hosea, Hosea was an interesting prophet, to say the least. God comes to Hosea and says, I want you to go marry a prostitute. And can you imagine what's going through Hosea's mind? But Hosea does what God says. And then at some point in time, His wife gets up and leaves and goes back to her old ways. And God says, I want you to go get her. I want you to buy her back. And I want you to bring her back into your house. And so Hosea goes, gets his wife, pays her debt, and brings her back. And then God says, now all of this is to show the way I am with my people. My people have become the prostitutes. My people have turned their back on me. My people have sought after other gods. But I will come to them. I will find them. And I will pay their ransom. And so God would use the relationship of Hosea and his wife to teach a point of his love for the people of Israel. And chapter 14 ends this beautiful message of redemption that God is going to bring to his people. And I love to read the prophets. I believe the prophets are some of the most misunderstood, least read books in the Bible. But when you read through the books of the prophets, I'm not talking the big prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. I'm talking these minor prophets like Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Obadiah. When you read these prophets, you will see God's wrath coming out on the people of God, but you will also see God's promise of redemption. You will also see God's incredible love for his people. You will also see God's plan to restore and to rebuild. And chapter 14 brings all that together. In these 9 verses, this is how chapter 14 breaks down. Verse 1 is a cry for the people to return. Verse 2 is a cry for the people to ask for forgiveness. Verse 3 is telling the people that the other nations can't help them. Verses 4 through 7 helps them to see that only God can help them flourish. And then verse 8 shows them that the Lord is better than idols. And then the prophet lays it out why they need to return to God. It is only God who can restore and forgive. It is only God who can protect them, not the other nations. It is He they need to worship and not the other idols. And all of this leads us to verse 9, which sums up nicely the entire message that the prophet had for his people. He says, "Who is wise and discerning?" And to be wise and discerning is to go hand in hand. And as we look at this, who is wise, let him understand these things. Well, what things? Well, the things that he has just brought out, the things that have been throughout this entire prophecy. What do the people need to understand? They need to understand that they need to return to God. They need to understand that they need to ask for forgiveness. They need to understand that they're not supposed to seek other nations. They need to understand that only God can help them flourish. They need to understand that no other idol can bring them the satisfaction of God. And these are the things that they need to understand. And then he continues, he says, "Who is prudent?" Now that word prudent is the exact same Hebrew word that's used for understand. So in other words, he is saying, who is wise, let him understand these things. Who is understanding, let him know them. And so to be wise and discerning, or to be wise and understanding, goes hand in hand. He wants the people to see and understand and be wise in the things that he has spoken throughout this prophecy. That they need God, not the other nations. That they need God, not these other idols. They need to understand that true wisdom, true discernment, true knowledge comes from the Lord. Those who understand these things are wise and discerning. They need to hear and heed what God is saying. For when the people do not hear and heed, folly comes. This verse and chapter would have brought in so much hope to the people of Israel. Because again, when these prophets prophesied, it was a difficult time for the people. Threats of destruction and devastation, deportation, all these things were promised to the people of Israel because of their rebellion. much of the hard times that they brought, that they were dealing with, was because they had brought it on themselves. But even so, this chapter and this verse is filled with great hope for the people of Israel. And so this passage brought hope to them, and this passage can bring hope to us today as well. Who can also be translated as whoever. The word that's used there, who is wise? Whoever. And so that whoever, guess what? You and I are a whoever. And so now this beautiful promise, this beautiful text, this beautiful passage is passed down to us because we can be a whoever is wise. We can be a whoever is understanding. We can be a whoever who looks at and sees and understands the word of God. It's not just a message of hope for the people for their difficult time. It is a message of hope for us today as well. Do we not live in a difficult time? Do we not have questions and hurts and heartaches and hardships of wondering what is going on? Have you ever stopped and stepped back and asked, where is God in all of this? Have you ever wondered, why is God letting this happen? Have you ever felt like, you know, I do all that I can. I do my best. I try to follow after God, and it just doesn't seem to work. You know, that's how the people of Israel were feeling. The people of Israel had a promise that God would always be there with them. They had a promise that there would always be an heir of David on the throne. And this reminds them of that promise, reminds them of restoration. It reminds them that he will heal them. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. This has been brought about because of the people's rebellion, but God says, I still love you. God says, I still will restore you. One commentary says, wise people listen to God's word, understand its meaning, follow its teaching, and show that they are righteous. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves today as we look at this text is the same question that the people who heard the prophecy of Hosea had to ask themselves. Do I want to be wise? Do I want to be understanding? Do we know these things about God? Are we wise? Do we know these things about God? And what is that? Well, do we know that? Do we need to return to him? Have we gotten off the track? Have we gotten out of tune with God? Are we out of tune? Are we out of step with God? Have we allowed the ways of the world to get the best of us? Have we allowed everything around us to distract us from what really matters? Do we need to return to God? Do we need to ask for forgiveness? Have we sinned against holy God? Do we need to realize that other people can't help us, only we can? You know, often when we have a problem, what do we have a tendency to do? We go talk to somebody else about it. And then we just tend to make the problem worse and worse and worse, when in all honesty, the first step should have been to cry out to God. God help us. God heal us. God strengthen us. Do we need to turn away from idols? Have we let things of this life take precedent over God? Do we have our hearts and our lives in tune with God so that we are wise and discerning, following after his truth? If we are to be wise and discerning, then we are to know the ways of the Lord. The prophet says, whoever is wise and discern him, let him know them. And what does he want them to know? The ways of the Lord. So how do we know the ways of the Lord? Well, we know the ways of the Lord by spending time with him. How do you get to know anybody better? You spend time with that person. And the more time you spend with the person, the more you get to know a person. And you know, there's been some people that I've spent time with that shocked me. In a good way, like, man, I didn't even think me and that person was going to have anything in common. And then me and that person ends up having a lot of things in common. You never know until you spend time with a person. And so how we know the ways of the Lord is we spend time with him. We spend time getting to know Him. We know the ways of the Lord by reading His Word. You and I are blessed today because we have this book that we call the Bible that helps us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the ways of the Lord are. We know the ways of the Lord through the power of His Spirit. When we give our heart and our life to Christ, the Spirit of God comes in and lives within us and takes over, and the Spirit reveals God to us. The Spirit reveals truths about God. The Spirit reveals God's ways. And the Spirit, when you and I get out of line with God, when you and I step off the path, when you and I sin against holy God, the Spirit is there to convict us. And so the Spirit helps us to know the ways of the Lord. And we know the ways of the Lord as we study His Word and pray to Him. When you and I spend time in prayer, when you and I spend time studying His Word, when we sit down and look at it and talk about it, that is when we're able to see the ways of the Lord. We are to know the ways of the Lord, and we are to know that they are right. So who is wise? Who is discerning? The one who knows the ways of the Lord. Do you know the ways of the Lord this morning? The second thing that we see in our text is what is right. Who is wise, let him understand these things. Who is prudent, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. It would be good for us to learn that God's ways are always right and we need to walk in them. Now, it's easy for us to get up here and say, yeah, well, we know God's ways are always right. But then if we look at our lives, we don't always live out that truth, do we? It's one thing for me to get up here and say, all right, everybody, the ways of the Lord are right. And we all like, yeah, now let's live it out. Okay, that's a little bit harder. And it really is. Because the ways of the Lord are hard because the ways of the Lord are very different from us. And I hate to say this, but it is the truth of what we see in Scripture, and it's the truth of what we see in the world. By nature, we are very prideful, aren't we? By nature, we have in our head, we have the idea of how we think things should be done, the way things should be done, the time frame things should be done, and we want it done that way, we want it done this time, not next time, and it's just like, we can be very prideful. Well, God is opposite because He is humble. He is caring. He is compassionate and kind. His ways are very different. Often, we like to hear what Eve heard. Did God really say? We start to ask that question. Does the Bible really say that? Does the Bible really say that we all should get along? Yes. Does the Bible really say it's wrong to get drunk? Yes. Does the Bible really say that one man, one woman, one lifetime? Yes. And we begin to start to question, like Eve, did God really say? The ways of the Lord are the ways of the Lord, and we do not have a right to change them, to make them what we want them to be. We can question the truth of Scripture and then form our own views about what we think is right. The people thought they were right to listen to the 10 spies instead of the 2. And we know what happened there. The people ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The people thought they were right to crucify Jesus. Paul thought he was right when he went around arresting Christians. We even see a passage where Paul corrects Peter. It can be easy for us to begin to ask, does the Bible say this? And we can even believe things that the Bible does not even say. And when we allow those things to come in and infiltrate us, we begin to lose our focus. We begin to get upset with one another. Well, I'm not happy with how they did this. Okay? Why? I'm just not happy. Was it unbiblical? No. Unethical? No. Immoral? No. So what's the problem? I don't like it. Ah. Now we're getting somewhere. The people turned from God because they were more concerned with what they wanted than with what God wanted. 95% of problems that still happen in a church today are because people are more concerned with what they want than with what God wants, than with following the ways of the Lord. The key is for us to know that God's ways are the only ways that are always right. My ways are only right if they're God's ways. If my ways are not in tune with God's ways, then my ways aren't right, because God's ways are always right. Your ways are only right if they are God's ways. It is the same way. If we want to see, His ways are always right. We may not always have the right motives, but God always does. All that He does is good and right. When God poured His wrath out upon the nations, it was because He was good and right and had every right to do that. His forgiveness was right when the people turned from their sin and turned to Him. God's ways are always right in that there's only one way to get to heaven. One way, through Jesus. There's no back way. There's no alternative route. The only way that you and I can be made right with a holy God is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Praise be to God that His ways are right. And God's ways are the only way to grow churches. When we look across America, we see churches all around us in decline. It's not just a problem here, it's everywhere. We see less people in attendance for Sunday school. We see less people in attendance for Wednesday night and Sunday night Bible studies. We see less people in attendance for worship services. And we look and at times we wonder, what is going on? God's ways are the only way to grow churches. Are there some groups growing that are not following God's ways? Yes, but they're not churches. Apart from God's ways, we grow clubs. Apart from God's ways, we grow hotels. Apart from God's ways, we grow something, but it's not the church. Sadly, when we look around, we've got a lot of social clubs that are called such and such Baptist Church. Because the church, there's no church anymore. It's a social club. It's a hotel. It's a place for people to come and feel comfortable and feel good about themselves and get their ears tickled and hear what they want to hear. Because as soon as the pastor steps up and says something that they don't like, they leave and go somewhere else. And they're there until the pastor says something that they don't like, and then they get up and go somewhere else. And it's a problem we see all over the world. We've become, and we can be like, what does that have to do with this passage? It has everything to do with this passage, because it's become about my ways and not God's ways. I've gotten this mentality in my head that my ways are right, and anything that questions my ways is wrong. And if you question my ways, then I'm going somewhere else. That's not biblical. The ways of the Lord are right. Not the ways of the pastor. Not the ways of the people. Not the ways of the deacons. Not the ways of the people that have more people that come to church. Not the ways of the people who give more money. The ways of the Lord are right. And if you and I are not in tune with the ways of the Lord, then we are not the church that God has called us to be. Then we are not the Christians and the people that God has called us to be. Because we need to make sure we're in tune with the ways of the Lord. Because the ways of the Lord are right, and we are to walk in them. And that's the third thing we see in our text today, is we need to walk this way. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. The prophet lays before the people a powerful challenge. He says, wise and discerning people will walk in the ways of the Lord, but transgressors will stumble. He is helping the people to see that they need to make the choice as to what type of people they're going to be. He is laying out for them, as he brings his prophecy to an end, as he closes out this prophecy, as he challenges them to return to the Lord, as he challenges them to ask for forgiveness, he says, all right, y'all need to decide right now, who are you going to be? What type of person are you going to be? We've gotten in this trouble because of rebellion. We've gotten to this point because of our sin. And so now we need to decide, moving forward, what type of people do we want to be? Will we be righteous and walk in the ways of the Lord, or will we be transgressors and stumble? And you know, this is not a new idea in Scripture. In Jeremiah 24, Jeremiah says, if it is evil in your sight to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Again, that's the covenant name for God, the one true God. We will serve the Lord. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it. Isaiah 30:21, and you will hear, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. The two choices for life have not changed. There's always been two choices. Because the beauty of God's love for you and I is that he does not force us to do anything that we do not want to do. God will never force his will on us. God will never force us to choose Jesus. He gives us the option. And throughout life and history, people have one of two choices. Each of us must choose the way that we will walk. We will walk in the ways of our Lord, or we will walk in the ways of the world. And the choice is up to us. Throughout the Old Testament, we see these two ways of walking side by side. We see what happened when people walked in the ways of the Lord and where they did not. Whether it's the wilderness wanderings, whether it's blessing in captivity, whether it's David's life. When David walked in the ways of the Lord, look at how successful he was. When he took his focus off of God, look at what happened. We see how the people would go back and forth. When the people did not walk in the ways of the Lord, there was always consequences. One commentary says this, to forsake God and his revealed standards is to invite disaster. Those who arrogantly make their own way apart from God will ultimately miss the rich blessings that God has for those who love him and obey his word. The truly wise person, unlike the wicked hearer, will have an ear attuned to God's truth and will be sensitive to walk in his ways. Righteous people will walk in the ways of God, and transgressors will stumble. And we have to ask ourselves, are we walking in the ways of God or are we stumbling along? We see great examples of what happens when people walk in the ways of God. What happened when David faced the giant? That giant went rolling, didn't he? When David shows up, he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He was walking in the ways of the Lord. What happened when Joshua and the people of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they walked around 7 times. And what happened? the walls fell down. Why? Because they were walking in the ways of the Lord. What happened in the life of Paul when he gave his heart and his life to Christ? How many churches did he start? How many letters did he write? How much persecution and difficulties did he experience and go through? But yet he still stood tall and strong. Why? Because he was walking in the ways of the Lord. When we look at these individuals, we can see clearly what happened when they walked in the ways of the Lord. We also see what happened when we stumble on the path. What happened when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, when he stepped out on the water and began to walk on the water, but instead of focusing on Jesus, he saw the storm. What happened? He immediately fell and began to sink. What happened when David took his eyes off of God and saw a woman bathing from his perch? He fell and was led into sin. What happened when Peter again lost his focus and they're asking him, "Aren't you one of Jesus' followers?" I don't know that man. When we take our eyes off of God, when we take our eyes off the path, when we take our eyes off the ways of the Lord, we stumble. But here's the beauty of who God is. Finally, we see that when we get off the path and repent, God is there with open arms. Was Peter restored? Yes, both times. Was David restored? Yeah, became a great king. The story of the prodigal son, where the son comes and the father runs and embraces him. And you know what? You and I are restored too. When it comes to our God, there's always hope. When the prophet wrote these words, the people may have thought they were beyond hope. We've messed up too bad. We've sinned too much. Destruction and devastation is coming. And we need to understand that the sin of the people was bad. Because in Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. There's no hope. Even if Samuel and Daniel and Moses showed up, I won't hear their prayers for these. That's how bad the people were. But they would suffer their punishment and God would restore them. When the prophet wrote these words, the people thought they were beyond hope. He gives them words of encouragement and actions that they can take. He helps them to see God will restore, God will rebuild, but you need to choose. You need to make a decision. What type of person are you going to be? God would restore them, and he would ask them to walk in his ways. Today, we are called to be wise and discerning. We are called to know the ways of the Lord and to walk in them, for they are right. So what is God saying to us today? Question number one, do we have a wise understanding of the words of God? Do we truly know and understand what is in this book? Do we know the truth of Scripture? Are we seeking to know the ways of the Lord, or are we seeking our own ways? So the first question, are we wise towards the Word? Second question, do we know that His ways are always right? Do you know that God's way is always better than our way? Now, there's been times in my life I'll never forget where I've planned things out. I had a great plan and God just said to me, "That's a great plan, but you forgot one thing." And I'm like, "What did I forget? I mean, I got this whole plan laid out." "You forgot to ask me what I wanted." Oops. And sometimes his plan has been completely different than what I ever thought or imagined. But you know what? His plan has always been better. And his plan will always be better. Do you know that his ways are always right? And the final question, do we walk in his ways or are we doing things our way? Are we walking in his ways? Are we truly following after God Or are we just doing what we want without worrying about anyone else? I absolutely love the truth of Scripture that no matter how bad we have stumbled in the path, we can always get back on the path because of God's great love. We are never too far gone to be redeemed by God. Maybe you're here this morning and you have gotten off the path that God has set for you. We've all been there. You can get right back on the path today. That's the beauty of the truth of God. Maybe as a church, we've gotten off the path that God has set before us. Maybe we've become a social club. Maybe we've become a hotel. Maybe we've become more concerned about who our family was instead of who our God is. God can get everyone back on the right track. But the key is to return to God. The key is to cry out for forgiveness. And the key is to make a conscious decision. I am going to walk in the ways of the Lord because they are right. So as we close this morning, how are you walking? Are you walking in your ways or are you walking in the ways of the Lord? Do you think your ways are right or do you know God's ways are right? Whatever God is saying today, will you come? Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage. And Lord, I pray that this is an encouragement to your people to know that the love that you have for us. And I thank you for reminding us that we're never too far gone to be redeemed by our great and awesome God. I'm so grateful that no matter how far off the path we get, you can bring us back on because, Lord, in our human nature, every single one of us get off the path. There's times where I get off the path and I need somebody to kick me back on. And I'm so grateful and thankful for the people that you have brought in my life to help me to remain humble, to help me to remain true, and to help me to remain on the path. And I thank you so much for those individuals that come alongside of me and help and encourage. And Lord, I pray that for each of us. I pray that each and every one of us would have people in our lives that are there for us to encourage us, to help us to stay on the right path, to help us to follow after you each and every step of the way. And Lord, I do just pray. I pray that if there's someone here that does not know you, that today would be the day that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I pray that you would be with us as a church. I pray that right here, right now, today, we would make a decision that we are going to be a church that walks in the ways of the Lord, for they are right. It is my prayer that we would say that we don't want to be a church that stumbles or tumbles along, but we want to be a church that walks along in the righteous paths of our great and awesome God. I pray that we would be a church that is wise and discerning, that we would follow your ways, that we would know your ways, and that we would live out your ways. And I pray that each and every one of us would know that your ways are right. And I pray that whatever the Spirit is saying to us today, that we would hear and that we would heed, and that we would leave here today challenged and encouraged to be the people that you have called us to be. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.